Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says he has no reason to suspect there's any bigger national security risk after yesterday's van attack that killed 10 and injured more than a dozen in Toronto.
The entire community of Toronto has shown strength and determination in the face of this tragedy. All Canadians stand united with Toronto today.
But while there is no link now to terrorism, Toronto police have not yet found a motive behind 25-year-old college student Alec Manassian's driving up to a mile, mowing down pedestrians, scattering baby carriages and bus shelters in his wake. Today he made his first court appearance and was charged with 10 counts of murder. The CBC's David Common joins us from Toronto. And David, police are saying this man has no police records, but are we gleaning anything from social media, Facebook, for instance?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just social media. We're able to talk to some people who have known Alec Manassian. There was a man in court this morning as he made his first appearance who seems to have been his father, crying, saying sorry very quietly to reporters. Doesn't sound like he's had the opportunity to speak with his son. But, you know, the Toronto police are saying we don't yet know the motive, but we do know some things. We know, for instance, that his Facebook profile was pulled down by the social media giant, but before it was pulled down, it included references to what's known as incel, involuntary celibate. In other words, an individual who has been rejected by women, someone who is part of a group who feels that they are owed sex. And someone who, in that same Facebook post, talked about someone in California, Elliot Roger, as a supreme gentleman. He's an individual who, in Isla Vista, California, carried out a deadly rampage that left 6 people dead, all part of this same incel group. Now, having said that, Alec Manassian, the individual we're talking about, people who know him and have known him over the years, acknowledge that he may have at the least a learning disability and some sort of further mental disability that he has dealt with for a very long time. It could be something along the lines of Asperger's, but we don't yet know that. We don't know the broader implications. We don't fully know what the motive was here. The fact that Canadian authorities are intentionally not using the word terrorism reflects the fact that the motive does not appear to have been political in nature of this individual, and certainly that he had no past calling cards or hallmarks or connections to any kind of terrorist organization. It just doesn't right. seem to be that. Many people very quickly are assuming it's that, but with the benefit of time, doesn't look like it.
Well, and this has sparked a lot of conversation about the definition of terrorism. As you just said, there's no political motivation. It did terrorize, but may not be politically connected. And a lot of people are saying, well, people are wondering about his mental stability, this incel rebellion, fascinating, rage at women, the same as Elliot Roger had in California. But if he had been a Muslim, could he also have been mentally ill? So it's a lot of conversations.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't.
Yeah, right. A lot of people saying, well, wait a minute, why can't, somebody who is a browner color, why can't they be classified as mentally ill? So those conversations are happening. But meanwhile, what's happening there? This is Toronto. This is Canada. I'm assuming there are no barriers on streets the way there are in Times Square in New York. Are people thinking things might have to change? How are they reacting to this?
Certainly there are some areas. Oddly enough, only about a month ago in the downtown core, the Toronto police very abruptly instructed that barriers would be set up around the major sporting events where the Toronto Maple Leafs play, where the Toronto Raptors play, and that there would be vehicle restrictions. And the inference was to protect against this very thing, this thing that we have seen in the United States, that we've seen in Europe, where vehicles are being used as weapons. Where this took place was, by appearance, a downtown area with tall office buildings, mixed use, residential and business, a place where there is a great density of people. But it's in the north end of the city, it's sort of an uptown downtown, if you will. And we know that, of course, 10 people were killed, 13 others injured. Some of the examples of what happened are now coming to the fore. Things like 2 women walking down the street after lunch and having a conversation, and then one of the women wasn't there. And the woman who was left had just felt the breeze as the van raced past her. And of course, it was only later that she found her friend at this point, dead.
Yeah.
We know that some of the injuries of those who remain in hospital are very, very serious. That a code orange was called at the nearest trauma center, getting all staff possible into the place.
Lots of trauma in Toronto. The CBC's David Common, thank you so much for telling us about it.
Quite welcome.